I want you to think about this concept of praying. It's a privilege, but God's given it to us as a duty. Someone has objected, if our Father knoweth what things we have need of before we ask him, and if it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, is it necessary that we should present our petitions deliberately before him? This idea that God knows our needs, he loves us, he wants to take care of us, we have promises. How is it that Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and the scripture tells us that he will do that. In fact, Christ said that he would do that. Why would we pray for something that he said he would do? I mentioned a while back that when I was in seminary out in Denver, that the president, very nice guy, very scholarly man, he was just off on this. And he said, we're actually doubting God when we pray for the things he's promised. Then I found in the Psalms that God said to his son, Jesus Christ, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. Yes, sir.
Didn't Daniel pray?
He prayed that this would be the time of the Babylonian, the end of the Babylonian captivity, having read that it was going to be 70 years, and wanted it to be so. We have a number of examples where people, knowing it was the promise of God, went to him with that promise, not saying, hey, you promised, but saying, now I am completely free to ask this of you. The simplest answer to this question, why should we pray, is we're instructed to do so. Listen to Ezekiel 36:37. Thus saith the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. He's making a promise of what he's going to do, and then he says, 36:37, I want to be inquired of about it. I will increase them with men like a flock. In Philippians 4:6, be careful, be worried, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In fact, if we don't have to be worried, that implies God's going to be taking care of it. Why would we ask if he's going to take care of it? Because he instructed us to. You think about it, we have a pretty good striking example of this in Elijah, his great battle with the unbelief and the priest of Baal. He had preserved great faith in God, one of the few left in Israel at the time. And so he had fulfilled the condition, which alone gives him fellowship with God. 1 Kings 17:1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Jehovah God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. What a great place to be. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So the time passed. I love this because immediately God directs him to the last spot that Ahab could look for him. Some little stream that in God's wisdom knows that the water's going to be flowing there till about the last time, the last bit. So once the rain stopped, water started drying up, people started complaining to the leadership, and he sent out people to look for him. And then when that stream dried up, he sent him to that widow of Zarephath. Well, he won Israel back to covenant allegiance. Finally, 1 Kings 18, 38, 39. Then the fire of the Lord fell, fire of Jehovah fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's a pretty tough fire. Blast of lightning or something. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord," or Jehovah, "He is the God." Jehovah, He is the God. So the winning of the battle, the winning of the hearts of the people, then he had received that the time of this drought was ending. He had received a definite promise. 1 Kings 18:1. It came to pass after many days, 3.5 years we find out, that the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." We're going to settle this now. So he had the inward assurance that God's answer to this long-continued situation was already on its way. So after the defeat of the priests of Baal, and after he took the sword and turned them into julienne fries, sliced and diced, we find that he's looking for God's promise of rain. And he's praying for it. "Okay, God, please bring it now." Then he begins to hear in 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." The King James margin says, "or a sound of a noise of rain." Now, I'm not sure if that meant he saw rain someplace and heard that, or it was the rolling of the thunder or something like that. But the sound of abundance of rain. But then he went back to praying. Even with that understanding, he went back to praying. And he would not stop until things actually grew dark with the gathering storm, and then they had to take off running. Now, we can suggest possible reasons why we should continue praying, even for such things as our daily bread and all of these things, when we might be tempted to hold ourselves in independence. These are already promised us in Christ. So, number one, by prayer, our continued and humble dependence on the grace of God is secured. The thing about asking for it confesses to Him, confesses to ourselves, we're not sufficient in ourselves. We're asking Him for this. When we ask Him for our daily bread, we recognize that that's not a settled fact. We don't automatically get daily bread. He says, "I will supply." So let's go to Him to ask for it. See? If all of these promises came to us without asking, like the gifts of nature do, air and rain, we might be tempted to hold ourselves as independent of God. He warned Israel of this as they were coming to the the promised land where so much was going to be given them. Deuteronomy 8:17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. He says, no, that's not it. A second suggestion. The Lord desires to have us much in communion with him. You think about God's purpose of salvation is to bring man into that family union with him. Our heaven of heavens is going to be an eternity with a perfectly functional family, with a perfectly understanding and loving, caring people about us. Our duty will be to be in loving service to everybody that we can. And we will have nothing holding us back. Part of that is communication. Part of that is communing. Part of that is, how are you doing? What can I do to help? All this type of thing. So he wants us to learn this now. This is part of our training. The carnal heart, the fleshly heart, the earthly bound heart is reluctant to dwell in the presence of God. It makes us not feel too happy about some of the things we're planning to do, want to do. We would rather speak of him than to him. How often he finds occasion to reprove us. There's a verse in Song of Solomon 8:13. Take this to mean God speaking about us. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions, your fellows, hearken to thy voice. And then he says this, cause me to hear it. Talk to me. A father will prize, look at the refrigerator and see what's stuck up there on the refrigerator. A father will prize an ill-spelled, blotted scrawl from his little child. Daddy, I wrote you this letter. To celebrate Jude's birthday, Karis, his sister, came up with the idea and made a big banner. It ends up, it just fit between the two posts in the living room. And my son Paul put it up there. And it had a birthday cake, and it was a great big thing. Happy birthday, Jude. And then little sayings and so on. One of them is, may your birthday be filled with surprises. Do you remember what it said? And filled, she left the E off, you know, it's filled. F-I-L-L-D, with surprises, and that was misspelled. It was just beautiful in its simplicity. So a father will love that, will hold on to that, because it's a pledge and seal of love from the child. I think it's the same way. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the prayers of his saints. He just wants us to communicate with him. The third one is this. Much has to be accomplished in us before we're actually suited to have all of the privileges of salvation. We have to change. We have to be transformed. The transforming of our mind, the renewal of our mind, all of these things have to happen. He's taking us from where we were to where we need to be. So God, I think, delays to grant our request at once, that in that process, he prepares our heart, he begins to hold us in his presence. We keep coming back to pray. Until we are brought into a spiritual understanding of the will of Christ for us in this regard. What is it he really wants from us? You know, is your prayer list just a Christmas list? Or do your prayers sound something like the Apostle Paul, who's all about spiritual growth, spiritual advances? If he would seem to deny our prayer, it's like the parable of Luke 11. Man gets a guest in, and he doesn't have bread for him. So he goes to the man who has a lot of bread and says, please, please, give me some. And what does the man say?
He hollers up at his window.
Yeah.
He says, please give me bread.
Yeah, please give me bread. And the answer he gets? Trouble me not. It's late. Already in bed with my kids. Which I guess mean the kids are in bed and I'm not going to be traipsing around the house. That's the response, but what's he going to do? He stays out there calling. And finally the guy says, oh man, this is going to be worse than walking around the house. So he gives him whatever he wants. So if we sense to our prayer, God is saying, trouble me not, it's only that we can understand the nature of the blessing we seek. That maybe it's a big deal. And we're fitted to understand the true benefit of God. The last one I'll call your attention to, we are called to be fellow laborers together with God. And this in prayer, as well as all other ministries. Our great Savior lives to make intercession. That's what he's doing for us now as the devil attacks us. Day and night before the throne of God, the devil is there, accusing the brethren. Christ, our advocate, continually making intercession. So he's praying for us as we pray. So there's a great work to be done in the hearts of men. There's a fierce battle to be waged with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Demons are to be cast out. A couple of times in my life, I've been called to where people were afraid that demons were affecting somebody else. And we didn't have an exorcist ceremony or anything like that. We went to prayer. And God settled the situation. There are demons to be cast out, the power of hell to be restrained, the works of the devil are to be destroyed. Now God is working this out, but in these things, it is by prayer above everything else that we are able to cooperate with the great captain of our Lord, the Lord of hosts. Poem, God spake and gave us the word to keep, bade never fold the hands nor sleep mid a faithless world, that watch and ward meaning to guard, till Christ at the end relieve our guard. By his servant Moses the watch was set, though near upon cockcrow, the night's almost ended, we keep it yet. Watching and waiting.